This story is about the first people who came to New England, the first attempt to found homes here in America. In a way, their coming was responsible for the fact that you are here now, that you speak English, and that our law is English law. You'll be glad to know something about those people who showed the others the way. They were interesting people, and the story about how they came to leave England and how they came to America is really fascinating. Before they came to America, these people were living in England in two little villages called Scrooby and Austerfield. Scrooby and Austerfield would look like funny towns to you if you could have seen them. If you saw a picture, it'll give you some idea of them. There was just one street, and along it, on either side, were built houses, either all of stone or of timber with plaster in between the big beams. The roofs were not made of shingles or slate like ours, but were made out of straw and sticks, woven together until very thick and called thatch. Often dirt was put on to fill the cracks in the thatch, and then grass and flowers grew on the roof. Inside most of these houses, there was only one big room. The floor was sometimes of tile or big stones, but was often just the ground, trampled hard by walking on it. On one side was a big fireplace, so big that a great many children could all get into it together, and big enough for grown-ups to stand up straight. Here the mother of the family cooked the meals over an open fire. The pots were hung over it on long iron rods called cranes. Sometimes an oven of brick was built at one side. The mother heated the oven first by making a big fire of wood inside it. Then she raked out the ashes and the red-hot snapping embers with a little iron rake. She next put the dough into the hot oven and closed the iron door. The fire had made the bricks so hot that the heat they gave off baked the bread. You see, they were poor people and had no better houses or ways of cooking. They had no fine clothes and had to work very hard to earn their livings. They were farmers for the most part and raised wheat or oats in the fields around the village. The landlord was a great man of the time called the Archbishop of York. He did not live at Scrooby, and so he hired a man to collect his rents for him and to look after his business at Scrooby. One day, Jonathan Brewster came running down the street at Scrooby, shouting at the top of his lungs, "Father! Father!" At the end of the street, there appeared on the steps of the great brick house and on the other side of the moat his father, a man about 40 years old. "Father! Father! They arrested him!" shouted the boy. "They arrested him, and they're coming for you!" Mr. Brewster stood still for a minute, then said quietly, "So, the time has come." He turned and entered the house, the boy following at his heels. He called to his wife. "They've learned at last about our meetings. They mean to act and will arrest us."
"But they will not arrest us," said Mrs. Brewster, "for worshipping God and reading the Bible."
"You will see," said Mr. Brewster. "They will not hesitate. We must fly and promptly." He then turned to the boy. "Run to Mr. Robinson and bring him here. Someone must also let Johnson know. Another must go to Austerfield and tell Bradford. Someone must warn Mr. Jessup. He too is named. All are to meet here at the manor house tonight and to go as arranged to Sherwood Forest."
"To Robin Hood's wood, where Friar Tuck and Maid Marian live, father?"
"Yes, yes. Hurry now, run." All the afternoon there was much bustle and excitement. Visitors were coming and going to and from the house, both men and women. When night came, Jonathan and his sisters found themselves bundled off up the ladder to bed in the attic. There they lay on their stomachs and peeped through the cracks in the floor and watched what went on downstairs. They saw their father and other men come in, clad in long black cloaks and carrying bundles. Women came bringing bundles and weeping and crying. They all knelt and prayed together. Then the men stole out carefully, and presently they heard the ring of horses' hoofs on the road as they dashed away.